morning. Hear now the prayer of illumination as printed in your bulletin. Emmanuel, as we wait for your return, help us to see your glory and love through the reading and preaching of your word. We pray in your name. Amen. And now a reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, verse 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Great will be his authority, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, last week we started our series on the carols of Christmas by looking at Mary's song. And this week we turn to the angels and we listen to the song that they sing. Every year in December, Luke 2 rings out. Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth. The song of the angels. If you haven't guessed, today is about peace. It's our message today. Our Advent word for today is peace. Peace is what the angels longed for. It's what Isaiah promised, and it is what our weary world still aches for. Even today, peace. Isaiah said the one that would bring that peace would be called the Prince of Peace. This morning we've been singing two Christmas carols, O Little Town of Bethlehem and It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. I hope you received a little handout of those. We're going to be looking at various phrases and some of the lyrics of these songs as we move through the message this morning. These two carols help us to hear the longing of our hearts and our world for peace. So the first hymn we want to look at is It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. This hymn was written by Edmund Sears. Edmund lived in the 19th century leading up to the start of the Civil War. Now, when the country at that time was very divided, much as it is today. There was so much of fear and instability and division within our nation. Edmund's world sounds a lot like ours. Maybe not the same types of divisions, the same ways, but many still exist today. Edmund's song opens up with peace on the earth and goodwill to men from heaven's all gracious King. But then Sears describes us. He describes our world, our hearts. He says, beneath life's crushing load, you can identify with that, whose forms are bending low. Can you see people bent under burdens of anxiety and fear? He goes on to say, with painful steps and slow. Some of you came in here that way today. With painful steps, slowly. Sounds a lot like us, doesn't it? That's our struggles with life. That's our strife and struggle. That's the human condition. We feel the weight of sin and anxiety, conflict, and grief, as I wrote about in the Voice article this week. And when we're carrying those things, it feels as though peace is a stranger to us. But Sears writes or sings, inviting us. He says, O rest beside the weary road. I love that line in stanza 3. Oh, rest beside the weary road and hear the angels sing. That's what we're literally doing this morning. Resting beside this busy old road out here. singing the message of the angels and listening to that message. You know, why is peace so hard for us to hold on to? It seems elusive, doesn't it? Well, I think it's because so much of life and so much inside of us gets what my grandfather used to say, out of whack. Y'all ever heard that phrase, out of whack? Now, that phrase originally meant something was struck out of alignment by a blow. A few weeks ago, I was riding bicycles with our group from Jackson in Madison County. We were biking along this stretch of country road that is very beautiful. It has all of these tree-lined lanes. It has these rolling farms that haven't been overpopulated with subdivisions. You know, those places are kind of few and far between over there, but they're still out there if you know where to look. So we're biking down this road early one Saturday morning. But this road is notorious for having some rough stretches of pavement on it and potholes. And so there we are, we're barreling down this road. We're in a pace line. Do y'all know what a pace line is? Pace line is when bikes are riding right behind each other. And there were about 10 of us, and our wheels are only about 4, 6, maybe a foot apart from each other. And we were traveling along this road at about 20 miles an hour when a pothole came up. Well, there's a rule in Peloton cycling that if there's an obstacle in the road, it's the person on the front's job to alert you. So normally we have hand signals that we give, like pointing or waving, or we twitch our hands out to the side or elbows. And if there's a really big obstacle, like a major pothole in the road, that person's job is to say, hold. Like yelling four on a golf course, heads up. So there we are, barreling down this road, and suddenly one of the bikers hit this pothole. And it happened so fast, no one was able to really call it out. And so I hit it, and it broke the bracket that my computer, bike computer was mounted on, and flung it to the pavement, destroying it. I had to get another one. The person behind me hits the pothole, blows out a $100 tire. And there we are. We are sitting on the side of the road. Our peaceful ride had turned chaotic. That pothole knocked us out of whack. It got us bent out of shape, out of alignment. Life works that way. One crisis, one habit we don't surrender, one conflict that we can't resolve, or a season of drifting from God, and suddenly the peace that we long for is gone. Scripture calls true alignment, when our lives are in alignment with God and God's purposes, His will, the way God intended. There's a word, a very specific Hebrew word. It's called shalom. That's it. That's when everything is in its rightful place under God's rule and God's ways. That kind of alignment brings peace. Brings peace to your life, my life, our church, our community, and the entire world. But when we live out of step with God, when we do it our way, instead of God's way, then we live out of whack. We give up shalom. But Isaiah promised a child, this Prince of Peace, who would come and restore what is broken. Isaiah says, of the increase of his government or reign, there will be no end. So peace comes when we align our hearts with that Prince of Peace. And we believe that is Jesus. Christians looking back in Isaiah see there a reference, maybe even hidden to Isaiah in his own day, but we see a reference to Jesus. And we know that where Christ reigns, peace reigns. And this is what Edmund Sears is talking about. And it came upon a midnight clear. What came? The Prince of Peace. And then if you flip over on the back, you'll see another little carol there, O Little Town of Bethlehem. The second carol gives us the answer to our longing. Note what is said there in, I think it is verse number 1. Halfway down in that verse, you see these words? Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light, the hopes and fears of all the years are met in who? In thee tonight, in Jesus. Right in the dark, in a world of war, division, and uncertainty, we're told that light breaks in. Light breaks in. Then, when that happens, we see this happen, this beloved line. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. What keeps you up at night? We find ourselves pondering that question a lot, don't we? What are the fears that keep you up? What are the hopes that you're clinging to? Every longing for alignment, for rest, for shalom, there's a light that breaks in. Jesus, the light of the world. And another verse captures the invitation to us. Where meek souls will receive him still, the dear Christ will enter in. Peace comes whenever Christ is welcomed. The guy that wrote this hymn was Phillips Brooks. And he wrote the poem to this song after visiting the Holy Land on a pilgrimage. He went to Bethlehem and he spent a Christmas there to observe the place where Christ was born. And when he returned home, he penned the entire hymn. Now, he wanted his congregation to sing it on Christmas Eve. And so the morning of, he gave his organist these words and said, "Write a tune." So Tommy, he had less than 24 hours up here. Who's up there?
Nobody.
Nobody yet. But could you imagine being have your pastor thrust that on you? Well, he did it. The organist did it. And Phillips told his organist, he said, "If you do a good enough job with the tune, I'll name it for you." The organist's name, his last name was Lewis, L-E-W-I-S. And sure enough, Phillips loved the tune. We still have it. We still sing to it. And so he named it after him, and he called it St. Louis, L-O-U-I-S. He wanted to kind of not embarrass his organist by giving it his name, so he gave it St. Louis. Still pronounced the same way, but spelled differently. Well, there is another verse to that hymn that we don't sing. And it's a forgotten verse. And it goes like this. Maybe you will recognize the words. The dark night wakes, the glory breaks, and Christmas comes once more. That's the name of the sermon this morning. The dark night waits, the glory breaks. You see, when Christ enters into a heart, the dark night stirs, and the glory of God starts to break in. And when we experience that light in breaking in our darkness, it's Christmas again. No matter who we are, what generation we live in, or what part of the world we live, it's Christmas. I love that verse. And yet, let's be honest. When we look around at the world we have inherited, it's hard not to ask, will peace ever really cover the earth? I mean, let's be honest. Do you think? When will we ever see the peace that we so long for? We go back to "It Came Upon a Midnight Clear." Edmund Sears ends with a promise. "For lo, the days are hastening on when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling." It's almost as you can see the image of the angel's wings just unfurling over every region of the world, proclaiming, "Let there be peace." But that day is not yet. You see, Scripture and Isaiah and even Jesus himself promise that it will come. Jesus said, "I will come again and take you to be with me." John 14:3. You see, the first coming of Christ, Christmas, brought peace into the world. But the second coming of Christ, his return that is to happen in the future, will bring peace over all the world. When every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. You see what is happening there? Everything, even crooked, bent hearts, are bowing, acknowledging the Lordship of Christ. Everything's being put in alignment. And until that day, we live between these two advents, hearing the angel's ancient song and longing for the world Christ will restore, and welcoming his peace into our hearts now. So where do you need peace today? Where is your life out of whack? Where do you feel that crushing load bearing upon you, keeping you up at night? Well, communion, the Lord's Supper that we are about to share, is where we meet the Prince of Peace. When you come and when we kneel, it's an invitation to meet Jesus, to receive the Prince of Peace. And it's at this table what is broken is realigned. What is burdened, it can find rest. And what is anxious can receive a gift of peace. Because the peace that Jesus brings us was purchased with a price. My body broken for you. My blood shed for you. Because of that sacrifice, we come, and we come like the carol says, as weary travelers who stop beside the road to hear the angels.
And as people who open our hearts again, we've come praying, "Dear Christ, enter in. Fix what is broken. Align what is crooked. Help us to repent, to get right with you, to lay our burdens down, to open wide these ancient doors to receive the presence of Jesus. And so we're invited to come. Come to the table. Meet Jesus."
I send you forth with this benediction from Hebrews. "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen."